back to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show with Ryan the Hockey Guy and Darren Millard.
And we're back, joined now by Vegas Golden Knights forward Ryan Reeves. Ryan, how you doing?
Good, how about you?
I'm doing great, buddy. First of all, congratulations on the contract. And second of all, what has it been about Vegas that has really kind of spoken to you, not just as a place to play, but just as a community to live in?
I think just, you know, when I got here, just like I'm sure everybody else when they got here, you look at the city and you're like, oh man, you know, just the strip. You know, you come here and you come here on a boys trip, you go gamble, you know, you go to the clubs, whatever, and you leave, and you don't really know anything else but the strip. So when I came here, and I, you know, they drive me out to Summerlin, and I'm seeing all this, you know, I'm in the mountains. I didn't even know there was mountains around Vegas. I just realized that when I came here for the first time, and I've been to Vegas, you know, 6-7 times. You just find out how different this city is, and how great of a community, how great the people are. And it's not just about the strip. You have the strip, you have that entertainment capital of the world at your doorstep, but you also have all this other stuff. You've got, you know, the outdoors, you got the weather, you have these great communities. There's so much to offer in this city that it just, I just fell in love with it.
It's the biggest small town in the world, isn't it?
It is. It really is.
Like that's the part that I can't believe is there's a few million people here, and it just feels like a small town. When did you feel comfortable on the ice when you got dealt here?
Oh man, I would say probably when I jumped into playoffs. I think you know when I got traded here. Obviously, it was a very shaky start for me. A lot of hate coming my way early on when I got here, and then to be honest, I felt like I didn't play my best hockey coming into the playoffs. And then, you know, I missed the first round, and I jumped into the second round, and I just felt, you know, just some kind of energy, you know, the buzz of the city and just the energy of the team and what was going on from that year just kind of re-energized me. And I felt, you know, I felt like when I jumped into the playoffs, I was finally comfortable.
And what was kind of maybe the turning point there? Like, did anybody say anything in the locker room or coaching staff pull you aside and just say, go out and play your game?
I mean, not in particular. No, I don't think. I think you know, everybody probably just said, you know, coming into the San Jose series, you know, I was jumping into Game Six as you know, Carrier went down. I think it was Game Six, and I'm sure Krim and George and Turk and all the coaching staff just said, listen, just go out, play your physical game, and you'll be fine. I know a few of them for sure said that, but I think it was more just the excitement. You know, I was in the playoffs again. I'd been in the playoffs, but I was in the playoffs, and I was in the playoffs with a team that had shocked the world, that was in first place and was making a run at the Cup, and nobody thought they were going to be there, and it just kind of brought me back.
Now to present day, or what was present day at the pause, can you explain how penalties are down, your minutes are down in the box, and the goals are up the last couple of years? What's changed?
Well, I'm fighting a lot less. I don't have a lot of takers anymore, which, you know, that's you know, when I was in St. Louis, I was fighting almost every 2-3 games, and that's a lot of 5-minute penalties right there. You know, the way the league has changed now, where, you know, you got the instigator for fighting now, plus a 2-minute, plus the 5. So you don't want to take those penalties because you don't want your team to be down for 2 minutes plus down a player for 17. So, you know, you can't jump anybody anymore. You know, taking a 10-minute penalty just, you know, it doesn't help anybody anymore. You know, that extracurricular punching a guy in the face and then going to sit down for 10 minutes, it doesn't help teams anymore. The way the game's changed, it just doesn't do it. So, you know, throughout my career, I've really honed in on the skill of being able to hit guys very clean without taking penalties. And I think, you know, that's what's helped me stick around. But I think that's why, my penalty minutes are down, is because I'm not fighting, I'm not taking those 10s, and I've really honed in on not taking penalties when I do play physical.
And now you're a goal scorer. You're approaching, knocking on the door of another career high when the pause happened.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and that's just, you know, changing my training routines in the summer. You know, the game's getting quicker, whereas, you know, back in the day, I would go home for the summer and I would sit in the gym for 3 hours and I would get as big and jacked as I could. I would, you know, I'd be boxing 3 times a week. And because I had to deal with, you know, these 250-pound monsters that wanted to fight me all the time, and that's just how the game was. That was my role back in the day. But as those guys started leaving the league, I didn't want to leave the league with them, so I had to adapt. So I stopped doing the 3 hours in the gym. You know, I still do the gym. I'm still big and strong, like I have to be to play the way I do. But I really started doing a lot more explosive stuff, you know, a lot of jumps. And then just a lot more skating. You know, I didn't really do a lot of skill work because I was more worried about the role that I was brought in for. And you know, now, you know, my you know, I'm not going to say I'm the most skilled player in the league, but working on the skills has allowed me to, you know, be on the ice for 10 minutes a night and have an impact and you know, get some people scared and chip on the board when I can. It's just the league is changing.
When you talk about that evolution of a player, how much pride do you take in the fact that you were able to figure out what that recipe was to continue to have that NHL career?
Yeah, I take a lot of pride in it. You know, it's you know, you see a lot of players that were like me that you know, had great careers because they were, you know, big tough guys and you know, they were respected in the locker room, and that's what I was brought in for. But you know, like I said before, I didn't want to be the dinosaur to die with all those guys. I love this league. Hockey is, you know, it's the best sport in the world, and I want to play as long as I can. And if I didn't adapt, you know, 4 years ago, I probably wouldn't even be in the league right now. So yeah, I take a lot of pride in it. It's you know, people have told me my whole career, or, you know, sorry, not my whole career. People have told me my whole life that I couldn't play in the NHL, couldn't play hockey. You know, I had somebody when I was really young, a scout told somebody that I knew that I was too big, too slow, my feet were too big, and I'd never make it anywhere. And, man, did that motivate me. And I feel like every time there's been a, you know, a situation where I have to adapt or change, or, you know, somebody says I can't do it, it motivates me to want to do it even more. You know, I wish I could say somebody was going to tell me I can't score 50 goals and I'm going to go out and score 50 goals. You know, that's not realistic for me. I know my skill set, but I take a lot of pride in how I handle situations.
How did the hands, the legs, and the lungs come out of the pause as we go into week two here of phase two?
Not as bad as I thought. I'll be really honest. I said this in an interview before. I usually only take a month and a half off of summer because I'm a guy that, you know, I like to just keep my stride and, you know, like to touch a puck just so I don't lose it too quickly. Because, you know, there's guys who can jump in August after a season and skate for 2 weeks and then be in training camp and be fine. I'm not that guy. Like, I need to keep skating. So this is the longest I've ever gone by far without skating. But I feel like during this quarantine, I kept my conditioning and my strength up well enough that it hasn't, so far, affected me too bad on ice.
How excited are you to get back to playing, and what do you expect that first game back to be like?
I'm really excited. It's you know, been a long time, and I think when we paused, you know, our team was playing so good. We were first in the division. We were beating good teams, and we just felt like we were rolling with a little bit of swag. So yeah, I'm really excited, just like everybody else on this team and in this city is. You know, for the first game, you know, everybody thinks it's going to be like an exhibition game. People are going to be just kind of warming into it. I don't think it's going to be like that at all because, you know, those first games are, you know, for us, we're fighting for a top seed so we can play the lowest seed possible. And for those playing teams, those are teams that have been sitting for four, you know, we'll be creeping up on 5 months when we start up. They've been sitting for that long. And so for them to sit at home and be training for 3 days would be an absolute or 3 games would be an absolute dagger, in my opinion. You know, you don't want to be doing that. You want that quarantine training to mean something. And so I expect every one of these games to be absolute wars right from first puck drop.
So how long did you think about the Instagram post and talking about wanting to win a scoring title and a Stanley Cup, both in the same conversation?
Yeah, well, they always text me and say have some fun with it. So, but they text me in the morning and ask me for it. So it didn't take me too long. I just think of one funny thing to say, you know.
All right, and I know we're up against it, and we really do appreciate you taking the time. But I just wanted to, last thing here for me is that so many players have come out speaking about racial injustice after the murder of George Floyd. I guess, does that give you hope for change at large?
Anytime there's conversations being started, there's hope. You know, I think the scariest times is when things are going on, injustices are going on, you know, racism is flowing throughout the United States, and there's no conversations being had. Right now, there's conversations everywhere, at all levels, and I think whenever people are talking, whenever people are sitting down or out protesting and showing their support, it's a good thing. The silence is what's scary.
Talk and listen. Two very big skills. One, we're really good at talking. listening is a different story, and starting to see some progress on that. Well said, and congratulations on the new 2-year extension.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot, Ryan. We appreciate it.